another beautiful song. We are set free. Well, hello and good morning. It's good to see you. I know I wasn't here last week. My family and I enjoyed a nice long weekend up north. The weather was beautiful and it was awesome. But it's good to be back. I wish I could say I watched the service online, but I didn't. I was playing, but we had fun. And if you're a guest or a visitor with us this morning, a special welcome to you. And I just want to give a special shout out to some friends online. Nellie, we want you back as soon as possible. Amen to that. Yes. And you know, to all of you online, God's peace be with you. A special welcome to you as you join us this morning. Hi, JoJo. I know you're watching, so it's good to see you. And, you know, as we gather together, I know this has been a tough week. So let's go right to prayer. Let's just start this off right. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather. And, Lord, as we just help us block out all the distractions of a world that is such a desire to trip us up. Lord, we come to you this morning. We ask for your blessings. Lord, to just be with us. Open up our hearts and our minds to your word. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I say, I know it was a tough week because last week we got the news that Pastor Doug, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, has decided to look elsewhere to serve this wonderful church that our Lord has given us. And, you know, it's tough to hear that kind of thing. I get that. And I know Pastor Mike's message last week was calm in the storm. How appropriate was that? I mean, to think about that. But, you know, we look around at ourselves and we look at our church and we just try to make sense of what's going on. You know, and sometimes, I don't know, we just wonder, is what we're doing really making a difference? But then we look at wonderful scripture verses like Jeremiah 29:11. Because our Lord tells us that I have plans for you. I got plans to prosper you. I have plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. You know, we hear these wonderful scripture verses and it gives us strength, but we kind of look in that mirror in the morning and wonder, am I really making a difference? Do I really fit in? Well, that brings me to my question this morning. Have you ever felt like you don't fit in? Yeah, a lot of bobbleheads, yeah. Yeah. Ever felt like sometimes you feel like an outsider? You know, maybe even with your family or your job. And anybody that ever played a sport, I think we can all remember that time we didn't quite fit into the team that we were on. How about in your church? Yeah. Today, we're going to, through the eyes of Paul and his letter to the church in Corinth, we're going to talk about fitting in. The difference that we make as the body of Christ. So we'll look at our focus verse today. Comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one spirit, that is God's love for us. This is all about unity. Yes, church unity, but family unity and all that stuff. You know, and unity is a pretty slippery slope word to use during an election year. I get that, because if you see anything, you see division. But friends, we are united in Christ, period. End of story, right? This morning, you were handed a puzzle piece. Anybody here did not get one? Raise your hand, because we'll get one to you. You're given a puzzle piece. And we're going to talk about this puzzle piece in just a little while, so keep it handy. You know, I don't know about you, but during my life, I've noticed that one of the greatest desires that most people have in their lives is the need to belong. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're young, it doesn't matter if you're old, but we all experience this feeling in every stage of our lives. And every day we encounter people who, even though they appear to be in the center of the crowd, they will often be some of the loneliest people that you meet. And the reason is that even though they are in the crowd or in the in crowd, they don't necessarily belong to it. You know, I can remember as a teenager, the most important, and probably you can relate to this too, the most important thing in my life was to fit in, to belong. And I get that with young teenagers, and I get that with 70-year-olds. You have that. But to be honest, I don't think that's something you ever really outgrow. Psychiatrists tell us that the desire is what drives people to join private clubs, to, in college, to join sororities and fraternities, lodges, and yes, even churches. Yeah, I also think that this is one of the key attractions to many, to Christianity itself. Well, at least initially, because the church is a place that you can go, that you can kind of hang out and get the feeling that you truly belong. But the fact is, when you come to faith in Jesus, you get so much more than just a free ticket to heaven. Because you become part of something big. You become part of something bigger than you can ever imagine in your life. You become a part of the body of Christ. More accurately, as you grow in your faith, you start to realize that this is not just a church, this is the body of Jesus, our Lord. Which means when coming to faith, you become a part of a bigger family of God because you now gain brothers and sisters in Christ, past, present, and future. And you are joined to them in a way that goes beyond any relationship that you have ever had in your life. Because, now, as brothers and sisters in Christ, you won't even be separated by death. So sorry to say, you're stuck with me for the rest of your life. I'm sorry, you know, yeah. Yeah. But this relationship that we have in Christ, it brings with it a community of unity. St. Paul refers to this relationship to that of a human body. We heard that in our readings this morning. So we're going to look at this body metaphor that Paul uses in four key points. So the first point that we see this morning is, well, the necessity of being united in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of its members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is in Christ. And as you look at the body, you've got to recognize that there's nothing more united than the body. We typically don't think of our body in terms of parts. Example, I didn't get up this morning, and as I was shaving, looking in the mirror, I'm going to say, okay, Mike, now don't forget your arm today. You got to bring your arm to church today. No, I don't say that because my arm is a part of me. It goes where I go. We are one body. And in the same way, all believers, all Christians, are part of one body. And because we are all part of the same body, we shouldn't, although we do at times, think of one another as individual parts, working against each other, but we should look at us as one body and one purpose. So let's look at a couple more ways that we're united. So we look at verse 13, if you're following along in your Bible. We are united through our spiritual baptism. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Verse 13. And when we hear the word baptism, most people quickly go back to that church ceremony where somebody gets wet. Yeah. But baptism is so much more than just a box to check off in your Christian life. And actually, there are a few different types of baptisms that are found in the body, and not all of them actually include water. But there is one constant in all of the baptisms that we look at and we read. Always present in each of these cases is the idea of identification. Yeah. In your baptism, each one of you, you were identified with something. See, when you came to faith in Jesus, you were given a place in His body. And then you are identified for eternity in Him and with Him. In fact, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapter 2, in 2 Corinthians, that you are a new person. You have a new identity. The old is gone. The new has come. I used to love that when I was younger. The old is gone. I had a real good friend of mine. You know, he used to talk about when he had asked for forgiveness. He used to hear somebody say, "Yeah, God, and again, forgive me about what I did the other day. I know I talked to you about that." And God says, "You don't have to do that." And he goes, "Well, why?" He says, "Because when God says He forgives you, He forgets. You're washed white as snow. The old is gone." The baptism of the Spirit that Paul talks about here in verse 13 is a one-time event in the life of a Christian, and it happens at that very instant of conversion. And Paul goes on to say in verse 13 that no longer is there any difference. No longer is there Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. But we have been made to drink into one Spirit. So what basically Paul is telling us here today is there is no such thing any longer for one church for Jews and one for Gentiles, one church for slaves and one for free, one church for blacks and one for whites, one church for rich and one for poor, but no, one church, one mission, one focus. So the great takeaway from this scripture, the great lesson for the scripture today is our church, and I really want us to really wrap our brain around this. Our church should be a reflection of the world around us. Does our church look like when you're standing in line at Kroger's, when you look around? You've got Asians, you've got whites, you've got blacks, you've got kids, you've got old people. Does our church look like that? We need to step back and invite those people that we see to come and hear the message. Because let's face it, even though we're different, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that aren't exactly like the person that you see in the mirror in the morning. And even though we're different, the church should be a place of true equality. And that takes us to our next point. Because we are different, the necessity of being different. For the body does not consist up of one member, but of many. Strangely enough, many people that we meet, they don't want to be different. Because we're constantly, just for an example, we're constantly looking at the latest fashions and trends so we can buy the clothes that are in style. Why? Well, so we can look just like someone else. So we can fit in. Guilty. But on the flip side of that, do you ever hear someone perhaps talk about a Christian, maybe you or someone you know, and they say, "Well, you know, they're just different." Ever say that yourself? Usually that's because they don't appear like they fit in. It's true, God's people are different. We are different. We are distinct from one another, and that is a good thing. I want you to just look around. Look at the person next to you or behind you. Go ahead, take a second. Look at that person. Do they look just like you?
Thank goodness for that, right? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
But just like our own bodies are made up of different parts, the body of Christ, friends, the church, the people around you are made up of very different backgrounds, ethnicities, skill sets, desires, wants, and needs. But the problem starts when you have someone or some group of people who insist that you must fit into their mold. You must fit into their style and do it their way. Now, I'm not talking about regular rules and procedures. That's okay. We need to have rules and procedures. But when the church asks you to reinvent yourself, and I know, trust me, there's a lot of churches out there that are doing this today. You need to walk this way. You need to dress this way. You need to pray this way. You need to act. I don't stay there long. And that's exactly where Paul is going in his letter today. See, there were Corinthian believers who were buying into this lie. They thought because they didn't have certain spiritual gifts, or they didn't have a certain skill set or the ability to do something, that they weren't or they couldn't be a part of the body of Christ. So they didn't do anything at all. There are many churches today that do that very same thing. And I am so proud to say that when I visited here a couple times, you guys are not like that. You are very welcoming, very loving. Do we have a ways to go? Yeah, absolutely. See, many feel in the church that just because they can't preach or teach or quote scripture like Billy Graham, that they're not going to do anything. They're just going to sit on the sidelines quietly. But the fact is, friends, Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity is based on involvement. Now, I'm not saying that you have to get up, join the church council, that you have to go out there and cut grass and pull weeds. No, I'm saying being involved doesn't necessarily mean joining those groups. It's simply, it could mean something as simple as, and I had this conversation with somebody a couple weeks ago, sitting next to somebody, talking to them, being there for them, sharing with them the love of God, and sometimes just listening. That's a spiritual gift. And that's why a healthy church body has many different parts that support its many different functions. This church is in a transition right now. And God has given this entire church body and all of its members the ability to succeed, because you work together. And that brings us to our final point this morning, the necessity of being interdependent. This is probably the most important part of this whole reading from Paul today. Now that you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, arguably we live in an age of independence. Our society, our TV, our radio, our social media bombards us with the philosophy of do your own thing. Christianity, however, is not a religion or not a gathering of independent people, because it's built on the concept of interdependence. Even the very act of coming to faith, you don't do on your own. It's the Holy Spirit coming to you, prompting you. And once you become a part of the body of Christ, you then experience the value of this interdependence, that relying on each other as a part of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to just kind of wrap this up and try to tie it all together, because I could talk about unity for hours on end. But I'll sum it all up by simply saying that we are, right now, on a path. We're on a mission. Yes, we didn't get the news that we wanted to last week, but that's okay. You have that upper story, God's plan. We stay faithful and true. Because a large part of what we do is a part of being faithful. We are a part of a much bigger puzzle, God's puzzle. And when we look at each other in our lives or the things in the church that are different, I want you to just remember something. Different is not bad. It's just different. And don't judge somebody because they sin differently than you. So when we look at each other, we must always remember, friends, we were created in God's image. His image, yes, but we are all different. And Jesus made us all fit together in that puzzle piece. God's puzzle. So my prayer today and going forward is that you individually, each and every one of you, will see just how you fit into God's puzzle in this church, in your family, in this country, and in this world. So do me a favor, that puzzle piece that I gave you, take it out for a second. And whoever has on that puzzle piece a special message, come and see me after service. Because I have a special gift for you. I didn't get a puzzle piece over here. No. I want you to keep this piece. Because we are all part of God's puzzle, each individually. And when you look at this puzzle piece, I want you to remember that if anyone suffers, anyone suffers, we all suffer. And if one member is honored, we all rejoice together. And friends, I want you to just always remember, if there's ever a time that you feel you don't fit in, if there's ever a time you don't feel welcome, if there's ever a time you are pushed aside, take out your puzzle piece and remember, this is you, and you fit into God's plan. Remember that you were made in God's image. And remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 139, that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You are here to honor and glorify our Lord. And you are here to be for that person that needs to hear from you, that gentle hand, that gentle voice. And to God be the glory for all of this. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that even though sometimes we don't feel like we fit in, even though sometimes we don't feel like, I don't know, we should be here or be somewhere. Lord, we thank you because we are a part of your puzzle, your big picture plan. So Lord, show us this day how we fit into your puzzle. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.